produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
My name is Dorothy Gates, and I am your humbled host. I'm so thankful to have this opportunity just to love on you a little bit today and encourage you. And I pray that whether you are here on purpose or you just happened to come across this show, that you will just listen with an open heart and allow God the opportunity to just speak to you today. Here on the Mountain, designed for mommies of all walks of life, just to come together and to find a resting place where we could just seek the Lord and find a little bit of inspiration to continue on our mothering journey. Because let's face it, motherhood is hard, and when we try to do it in our own strength, it's almost impossible to get it right, and it's almost impossible to do it with a happy heart. But thank goodness we do not have to do motherhood alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is right there walking with us, wanting to help us along the way. And he gives us everything we need in his words. And so the Mommy Meltdown was started as just a place to find a little bit of encouragement, maybe some laughs, to know that you're not alone and that there are other moms out there who are willing to be a support and be an encouragement. So if you have not joined the Mommy Meltdown group on Facebook, I encourage you to go over there and do that. And here on the radio show, what we've been doing is we have been going through a series called Sparkle and Shine. And it's just basically talking about how to sparkle and shine as a mom. And to remember that God has given us the very important responsibility of being a light to our children and to shining a light to our children. So I have taken the book that I've written called Sparkle and Shine, and we've just been going through it. And just as a quick recap, we have talked about letting our light shine and being a light to our children. We talked about the importance of being who we were created to be. That God had a very specific mission and purpose for us when He created us. We also talked about being and how as a mom and who we are, who God created us to be. And today we're going to go on to the next chapter in the book, and it's called A Royal Princess. And I just absolutely love this chapter. I love the truths in this chapter because I think at some time or another in a little girl's lives, in our own lives, we've all dreamed about being a princess. We loved playing dress up. We loved watching the movies, the Cinderella movies. And it's always just been very fascinating to us to watch the royal family. And I'll just say this, now with social media, goodness, we can watch the royal family so much easier than back when I was a kid and you would get just small glimpses into the lives of royalty. But now, you know, you could Google the royal family and just see all kind of information and pictures today. But there's something very fascinating about royalty. And I think it's because, let's just be honest, it's something we cannot relate to. We don't understand how royalty lives and the big houses that they grow up in and just think about the clothes and the jewelry, and it's just a complete different lifestyle, right? Along with that comes a lot of protocols and a lot of rules and a lot of regulations and a lot of do's and a lot of don'ts and a lot of etiquette and a lot of properness. And so, yeah, I mean, I think we're so fascinated with it because it's something we just don't really understand. So today what I want to talk about is I just want to get us back to those little childhood days when we would twirl around and we all dreamed about it and we read the books and we played dress up and we imagined it and we dreamed about being a fairy tale princess. And really, truly, I think that's every girl's biggest fantasy. We just absolutely loved to hear the stories. We loved to dress up and I mean, it just was awesome, right? Now, no matter what your age is, there's still something fascinating about it. From the smallest little girl in pigtails to the most mature, seasoned lady adult out there, we're just fascinated by royalty. And I think it's because, honestly, let's just be honest, a princess is someone who's unique, different, rare, beautiful. Most of the time, we see that they're very gracious, they're well-mannered, and they're just kind. They're kind to people. And I don't know if we're fascinated with it because it's a life we only dream about, or if it's because her beautiful gowns and her sparkling jewels, her castle. I'm not sure what it is, but it could be the fact that she's just the daughter of a king with royalty streaming through her blood. So it's really cool. But there's also two different types of princesses. There's the one who was born into royalty, but then there's the one who, she wasn't born into royalty. It's kind of the Cinderella story, right? It's the one who marries into royalty. You know, the old stories we're suckers for about the girl who catches the eye. She's an ordinary girl and she meets a handsome prince. She catches his eye and they fall madly in love and get married and live happily ever after. You know, yada, yada, yada. But there's just really something fascinating about an ordinary girl becoming this princess. And I honestly think that's why most of the world has fallen in love with Kate Middleton and just kind of following her story, because we can relate to her being this normal girl. And even Princess Diane, I mean, for years the world just was mesmerized by every little thing she did. And I think that's how Kate Middleton is to most of us today. I would dare say that when she got married, probably the entire universe watched her on television. And, you know, the biggest question was, what's her dress going to look like? You know, how's she going to wear her hair? All that kind of stuff. But the reality is we adore her. She's just precious. And though she's not perfect, she seems to have it together, right? She just seems to have her life together and figured out. But, you know what's so beautiful about a princess is the fact that they're just wrapped in grace and kind of humility, and they have this confidence, this beautiful confidence about them. And so what I want to talk about today is the fact that as a child of the king, we are no less of a princess walking with royalty in our veins, but yet we do not live like we are. We do not live like we're royalty. We do not live like we are the princess to the King of Kings, who is an heir to the throne and an heir to all the promises, the beautiful promises that the King of Kings has given us. And obviously, it's not because of who we are or anything that we have done to deserve this, but it's through the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us these blessings. Yet we don't walk like we belong to Him. We don't live like we believe His truths. We don't act like we are a life that has promises and immeasurable blessings guaranteed to us. And I believe that as a child of the King, we should live a life that reflects Him. If you think about it, we're a modern day fairy tale. And we should live in a way that reflects to the royal family of God. There should be something different in our lives. And today I want to talk about a few little points on the truth. If we really lived like we were royalty and we really believed that we belonged to the King of Kings, how we would live differently. And I think I also want to use it as a comparison to the royal family. Like when I talk about these things, kind of compare it to the actual royal family. But first, number one, I want to talk that being a child of the King, being a princess, a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should live a life that's approachable to others. Now, see, that's a huge difference between the royal family. I don't know about you, but I don't think I would just throw myself on top of the Queen and give her a big old hug, right? If I ever got to see her in person. No, I mean, there are all kind of rules and protocols you have to follow when you're in her presence. Think about in the olden days, if you came before the king uninvited and he didn't want to talk to you, and he was having an off day, he could just simply order off with your head. And, you know, if it pleased him, you'd be gone. But let me just say that our king, the King of Kings, has a very different approach in the way he reigns in his kingdom. He tells us in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need." We have an amazing king who is totally approachable. We don't have to fear going before him. Goodness, our king wants us to come to him all the time, every day, no matter what it's about, big, small, little. God wants us to come to him all the time, to lay our problems before his feet. A completely different manner in how a king or queen rules their kingdom. But our God is a loving, caring father, and he wants you to come boldly before him because you're his. And I truly believe that we should we should look at him as our example. And if God is approachable and he says, come to me, then I truly believe that we should be approachable to the people around us. We should never give others the impression that we're better than them. Listen, Christian, to what I'm saying here. Don't ever act like just because you're saved and you are nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. Let me remind you of that. That gives you some kind of right to snub off other people or to be standoffish or to be hateful or rude or critical or negative. We need to be the type of ladies that know how to be approachable, where people can come to us. Like, we just have this loving mannerism about us that people can say, I can go to her for anything. She's not going to judge me. She's not going to look down on me. She's not going to make me feel lower than her. The Bible says to esteem others more than yourself. And so if we're living a life as royalty, as a daughter of the king, then we are confident in who we belong to, and we don't have to push others down to build our confidence. So if we're confident, then we're also building others up to know who they belong to. We're building up their confidence. So be approachable, like our Father is approachable. Love other people. Allow them to come to you. Number two, we should draw people to us. The royal family, you know, a lot of times you'll see movies and they're in a carriage and they're going down the road. And when they're going down the road, people are just running to the sides of the roads and waving flags and giving them their attention. And, you know, the media follows so the royal family wherever they go. I mean, if they leave their house, social media and paparazzi and media just know exactly where they are all the time. They draw attention. And I truly believe that as a child of the king, we should also draw people's attention in a positive manner. I believe that the way we live should be so different that people can't help but say, there is something different about them. Your work ethics, the way you show up every day at work, your attitude, the way you care and invest about those people that are in your life, your marriage, the way you raise your children, the way you love your friends, the way you faithfully attend church, the way you love on your neighbors. Look, there should be something so different about you that it draws the attention of the world around you, not in a distasteful way, but in a way that says, wow, there's something different about them. I want what they have. They have this peace. They have this joy. They have this love. They have this gentleness. They have this faith. They have this kindness about them that even when the world is going crazy and twisting and turning upside down, they don't get caught up in that. They're different. And it draws their attention to you. Even in the way you take care of yourself. Listen, I truly believe that you should look your best and act your best and be your best. Because you represent the Father. In everything you do, you're representing the King. So that means, yeah, get up and get dressed and brush your teeth and fix your hair and iron your clothes or throw them in the dryer. Or match, you know. I'm not saying you have to pour a lot of money into yourself. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying wash and clean and look presentable because you're representing the King of Kings. That means when you go to the grocery store, don't go in your pajamas. Fix your hair. You don't see royalty walking around and pajamas. They're put together. And I think that's what's so beautiful about them is they just take the extra time to look their best and be their best. Because they're representing the kingdom. Ladies, somewhere along the line, we've kind of forgotten that we're representing the kingdom. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. I'm not saying fake it till you make it. I'm saying just be your best. Do your best. Dress your best. Look good for the Lord's sake. We don't want to put a bad taste in the world's mouth. We should live in a way that draws people to the Lord. When Jesus had his ministry on earth, there was something just so different about Jesus. He was this miracle-working man who served people. Everywhere he went, he was always serving. He was always healing. He was always loving. He was always teaching. He was investing. He was pouring himself into other people. And it didn't take long for word to spread, and before long, everyone wanted to get a glimpse of this miracle working man, this man who fed 5,000. He drew people near to him and they wanted a little bit of him. People flocked to him, men, women, boys, and girls. They wanted to see him, they wanted to be near him, they wanted to hear what he had to say. And I believe that's how we should be. I believe that we should be a life that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ so well that people just want to be near us just to hear a little bit of what we have to say. So the next thing, number three, we should live our lives differently. Now, I just kind of stepped on that. Just talked about that when I was talking about we should draw people near to us, or we should draw the attention of people in a way that it points to Christ. But number three, I honestly believe we should live our lives differently. And listen, I'm going to just go ahead and warn you that I'm going to say some things here that you're not going to like. You're going to probably disagree with me and say I went too far with this point. But I want you just to listen, okay? Because all eyes are on the royal family all the time. They never get a break, even on vacation or if they're going to the run to the store. I mean, they don't get a break. It's not like you can just have a vacation day, right? No, you're always royalty. They always are on guard, having to live their life in a different manner. Because of that, there are places they cannot go. There are things they cannot do. Things they cannot say. Because it will reflect to the kingdom, the royal family, in such a bad way that they just know. They can't do these things. And ladies, let me just say right now, again, you're probably not going to like this, and that's okay. God gives us liberty in life. Yes. We are free. Free from bondage. We are free from being bound to law. But that does not give us the okay to live our life the way we want. We live our life to please the Lord Jesus Christ. We live our life to please Him. And because of that, everything we do, everything we say reflects and points back to our King. So there are things we cannot do. There are places we cannot go. There are clothes we should not wear. Yep, I said it. There are things we shouldn't say. Yep, I just said it too. There are things that should never hit our mouth or come out of our mouth. There are things that should not go into our body. I know you're saying, but God gives us the spirit of freedom. God gives us liberty. All things are permissible. Yeah, but not all things bring glory to God. And God said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything you do as a child of God needs to bring glory to Him. I know you're sitting here rolling your eyes saying, oh my goodness, like you just took it too far. But sisters, let me say, you can't show up to church on Sunday glorifying, praising God when you've lived like a hellion Monday through Saturday and think that it's going to give the world a good taste of Christianity. The world needs us to reflect God. When Jesus was here on earth, there were things He didn't do. So, there are things in our life that we need to remember that we should be different. Oh, we should be different. We should have a peace that the world cannot understand. We should have joy that doesn't waver on the circumstances in our life. We should extend mercy and grace to others. Yes, we should be hard workers. We should be honest. We should live differently. Oh, we're not going to be perfect. No. We're going to mess up. We're going to get it wrong. But it's what we do when we make those mistakes. How do we come back from it? We should be approachable. We should remember that we belong to the King, and every decision we make reflects to Him. And it should be our desire to point people to Christ in everything we do, to bring honor and glory to Him, and to shine our light in such a positive way that people see those good works, and they see those good deeds, and they see that good life, and they think, wow, I want what she's got. I've searched the world over, and I can't get a hold of what she's got. There's something real about her. So ladies, today, I think about in your families, no one knows you better than your kids and your husband and your family. And I want to ask you, are you living royally in the family that God's given you? Are you pointing them to Jesus? Are you teaching them how to live like royalty as well? How to have the confidence of a princess or a prince because they belong to Jesus. Ladies, you belong to the King of Kings, and that makes you different. I pray today that you will make a decision to walk worthy of the calling. Walk worthy of the title He's given you. And that is a princess. Blessings, my friends. Thank you for listening to the Mommy Meltdown, and I pray that this has been a blessing to you. I love you, and I'll talk to you next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuning in to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. And as usual, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And let the church say amen. Welcome back. Thank you all for tuning in. You are listening to What Now God radio show. Thank you so much. I am your host, Cheryl Woods, author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together. This is the show where we answer the question, what now, God? When we're dealing with life's tragedies, when we are dealing with issues personally, when we're dealing with things that may have been brought to us by our family, by our friends, the tragedies, the wars, everything that's going on with the world, we ask ourselves, what now, God? What do we do as Christians? What do we do as brothers and sisters in Christ to help each other out as we help ourselves? Again, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm just excited, so excited. Every first and third Friday, you can catch us here on the Lifted Authors Radio Network. Shout out to our CEO, Tammy Polk, as well as Miss Kayla Pageant of Finding My Way Radio Network. I am, again, your host, Cheryl Woods, and you can catch me here every first and third Friday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's 10:30 a.m. Eastern. So listen, tune in, and tell a friend. So today's topic is, when you feel like your life is falling apart, what do you do? And as I stated before, I'm the author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together, which is available on Amazon, as well as my website, sistars.org, if you would like to have a wonderful read. But I feel like I'm kind of an expert on the topic because there's so many times throughout my 42 years of living that I just felt like my life was falling apart. And I even asked myself the question, what now, God? What do I do now that I'm dealing with this situation? So on today, we're going to discuss that topic. What do you do when you feel like your life is falling apart? Okay. And I'm going to go over three specific points that are going to help you, the listener, hopefully not just get through some things yourself, but we all know that when we go through things, sometimes it's because we are meant to help someone else get through that exact same situation, okay? God doesn't just send us through things because he's not a loving God or he wants us to be tested, okay? There's a purpose for every situation, every trial that we go through. And hopefully on today, on this broadcast, we can discuss that. And as always, I would love to invite you, if you are an author, if you are an activist, if you are a speaker, if you have a cause that you want to speak about on the What Now God radio show, I do invite you to apply to be a guest on one of our upcoming segments. And you can do that by going to bit.ly/WNG radio guest. Okay. So go ahead and apply. I'd love to have you on the next show. So without further ado, when you feel like your life is falling apart, what do you do? Now, the first thing is that you have to remember, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, what he said, what she said, what they said, you have to know without a doubt that God is working all things together for your good, okay? So when we're going through some things, it can seem like the worst of times, you know, whether it's a loss, whether it's, you know, a loss of job, a loss of your loved one, whether it's a health scare, you're dealing with an illness. When we're going through, what happens is our focus becomes so laser pointed to what we're going through. We're not looking up where we should be looking. We're not looking to God necessarily, but a lot of times our focus goes into that bad feeling, goes into that hurt, that pain, whatever it is that we're dealing with. But we have to remember that no matter what we're going through at that time, that God is working all things together for our good. So what does that mean? It means that, yes, I may have lost my job today. Yes, I may not know where my next meal is coming from or how I'm going to pay my bills. I may be dealing with a diagnosis from my doctor that does not look great. I may have just broken up with the love of my life. I may have just lost someone to, you know, to a tragedy that has really just taken me out of, you know, out of myself to where I'm feeling so hurt. But guess what? All of those things, God is going to work together. And sometimes we question God and we ask, why me? But we have to remember that God is an awesome, on time, never failing God. Okay. He's all powerful. And a lot of times his ways, not a lot of times, but most of the time, all of the time, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there is nothing impossible for God. So that bad situation, that tragedy, that health scare, whatever it is, he can still use all of that bad stuff and turn it into something so good, so great, that instead of crying out, why me, you'll be thanking him. And trust me, because like I said, in these 42 years of living, I have lived through some stuff. And guess what? They say that what kills you, what doesn't kill you, only makes you stronger. That is the truth. And the fact is that you have already, if you're listening to this radio show, you're listening to this broadcast, you have already survived 100% of everything that the devil has tried to use to take you out. So guess what? You're on the winning team. God is yet working all things together for your good. So I want you to remember that, number one. And number two, your purpose is often born through your pain. We all go through storms in life, okay? You, me, our parents, our kids, we all have our personal storms that we will go through in life. It's inevitable. But the question is, are you just gonna go through it? Or are you gonna allow God to grow you through it, okay? That storm is going to teach you some things about yourself. I promise it's going to teach you some things about yourself that you would have never known were it not for you going through that storm. So you're going to learn some things about you that you never knew, okay? That storm is going to connect you with some people that you would have never, ever connected with otherwise. That storm is going to awake a strength in you that's going to not only equip you to help somebody else through their storm, but it's going to have you closer to God. It's going to have you trusting him more, calling on him more than you have ever done before, okay? And what is that going to do? That's going to build that relationship with God. That's going to build that faith muscle, okay? Because we all know when we're, it's like when you're exercising, all right? You may start off only being able to lift 5 pounds or 10 pounds. You may be able to do about 10 reps at a time. But then as you work, as you continue to exercise, as you continue to lift those weights, then the next week, maybe you're up to 15 and 20 and so on and so forth. The same thing goes for our faith muscle, okay? When we go through things, when we go through those storms in life, it builds our faith. Because what happens? Like I said, we start calling on God more. And when we're calling on God more,
we're building a better relationship. Our prayer becomes more effective. Our being able to listen to God and hear from Him becomes more clear. So instead of us throwing ourselves at God's mercy, now we're communicating. Now we're not just praying, we're worshiping God. We're thanking God because we know that without God, where would we be? Okay? So again, your purpose is often born through your storm, your pain. So what does that mean when we say that our purpose is born through our pain? Sometimes when life is going good, you know, we're sailing through life, the sun is shining, everything is going right. What happens? We may continue to pray every day, but we're just going through the motions. We're not really connected, as connected with God as we sometimes should be. So when we go through that pain, we begin to learn things about ourselves. We begin to learn that we are stronger than we thought we were. We begin to see ourselves and other people in different lights. We begin to tap into our inner strengths, our inner gifts, our inner talents that we may not never have known that we had. And from that, we figure out, okay, wow, I persevered through this storm and I'm great at this. I'm great at helping someone else now, because now that I've been through my storm, I can relate to others who are going through. I can teach them and show them that, guess what? I made it. And if I made it, you can too. Or through my storm, I got through my storm by writing. Wow, I never knew I was so great at writing. Maybe it's my purpose to write. Maybe it's my purpose to share my thoughts through poetry, to share my thoughts through spoken word, through writing books, through motivational speaking. Or we find out that I'm great at listening. I'm great at inspiring. I'm great at giving people encouragement, okay? I'm great at giving people advice. Or through your pain, maybe you find that, you know, that you were so broke, you had to figure out a way to make some money. So now you're making meals to bring in extra money. You're selling plates, or maybe you're doing crochet, or maybe you're doing any other type of creative work that you've used in your time of financial problems. So now what happens? That pain of you not having enough has now turned into a purpose, to where now you know that, oh, I can make money doing this, but also I can help people doing this. Okay. So again, we have to remember that so often that pain that we're going through, that struggle that we're going through, is just those birthing pains of birthing our purpose. And if we keep pushing, if we do not give up, if we do not give in, if we trust God, continue to trust God through it all, then guess what? We're going to birth something so amazing. We're going to birth something so beautiful that we'll forget about those labor pains, ladies and gentlemen. We will forget about those labor pains, and we're just going to remember and see the blessing that was birthed, that purpose that was birthed through our pain, okay? So first of all, remember, no matter how it looks, that God is working all things together for your good. And secondly, remember that often through our purpose is born through our pain. So although we go through those struggles in life, although we go through those storms in life, it's okay. God is going to get you through it, and you're going to come out so much better than before, okay? And let's just be honest. When we're going through things, we're not thinking about, you know, any of this. So that's why we have to try to remember. We have to try to stay connected to God, even when we're not going through things, because a lot of times He'll prepare us ahead of time for something that we may be about to go through, or for something that our loved ones are about to go through. So many of you know, in the last couple of weeks, tragedy hit a famous basketball player, Kobe Bryant, who most of us know. I don't care if you're a basketball fan, if you're a Los Angeles Lakers fan or not. nine times out of 10, you knew who Kobe Bryant was one way or another. Left high school, went straight to the NBA. His dad was an awesome basketball player. You may have even seen him in the news, you know, for some not so savory things when he was accused of rape. Let's just keep it real. And over the last 2 weeks, we watched as tragedy unfolded within the life of Kobe Bryant and his wife, Vanessa, and their four daughters. And unfortunately, you know, I pray for the family. I pray for Vanessa. I pray for his remaining children, because just watching, just getting the notification, we were in church when our pastor, you know, said we need to pray for Kobe Bryant and his family. And he announced the sad, just unbelievable news that he had went down in the helicopter. And when I say my entire church family, I mean, we're all mourning. You would think that Kobe was, you know, our relative, a close brother, a close uncle, or our own father, or our own son, how we were mourning and how the mood in church just completely changed. Okay. So as we're sitting on the outside looking in on this family going through this storm, it was hard, and it is still hard, to see that anything purposeful or anything good can come out of this tragedy. And then when you find out, when we all found out that his baby girl, Gianna, was also with him, and seven other people that also lost their lives, okay? Each just as important as Kobe. You know, a lot of times we may send condolences to celebrities because they're in the limelight and we feel like we know them, we feel a connection to them. But we also have to remember that there were others, seven other families, two that were, you know, a husband and wife and their child, and then also another player's mom and herself, as well as the pilot and another coach who also had a family. They all had families. So I said all that to say that when we're going through the storm, when we're watching our loved ones, when we're watching our families going through the storm, sometimes we don't see the purpose. We don't see any good that can possibly come out of it, especially when it's something as tragic as an accident that causes death, as tragic as something that is so publicized that you're constantly reminded of it, that you as a mother, that you as a daughter, that you, you know, have a connection. You can relate so much, and you're so sad because of this tragedy. It's hard for us to figure out, how are we going to get through this storm? How are we going to help our loved ones through that storm? And the question does arise, what now, God? What do we do? Well, let me tell you what I saw. And this is just my personal opinion. I saw so many people praying, more people praying that I've ever seen before, online and social media, within my family, within my church family, people that I didn't even know, you know, that were Christian, that believed in God. They came out, they prayed, they, you know, sent out love, they made cards, they came out to the Staples Center, the celebrities, you know, everybody was just shocked and hurt and tears. So this tragedy caused so many other people to go to God, caused so many other people to send out prayers to the families, the survivors, that I know without a doubt that something good has to come out of it. As horrible and as sickening and as tragic as the loss of all nine of those lives were, those were people's dads and moms and sisters and brothers and, you know, uncles. It is tragic. But on the flip end, how many people sent their prayers to God? How many people actually went out of their way to be there for the families, to help them through their tragedies? How many people were, you know, when they found out that Kobe had just came from Mass, you know, he's Catholic, so the news, you know, posted that he had just came from prayer. How many people turned their lives over to God? How many people instead of holding grudges with their family members, instead of, you know, just going about the day-to-day ins and outs, instead called those people, called those loved ones who they may not have spoken to in a long time and reconnected, okay? So throughout this tragedy, throughout this storm, throughout the pain, there was still a purpose that God has, and it's still being revealed to many of us. So we have to pay attention. So again, oftentimes we go through our storms in life, but we have to know that in that storm, God is with us. It will bring us closer to God. It will help us to trust Him more, call on Him more, okay? And no matter how bad it looks, things are going to be all right, okay? So that was the second thing. And last but not least, when you feel like your life is falling apart, it just may be God putting you back together. We're all guilty of holding on to some things that we should not, okay? And if you like me, I hold on for things a lot longer than I should. I am guilty of that. But we're all guilty of holding on to things a lot longer than we should. Things that God has told us to let go. Things that we know we should let go. But for whatever reason, we are still holding on. We have a grip on it and we won't let it go. Whether it's a thing, whether it's a person that you're holding on to, whether it's a place, whether it's shame, whether it's guilt, whether it's unforgiveness, or maybe it's anger that you're holding on to, whatever it is, we've gotten so used to holding on to it that it starts to become a part of us. We live it, we breathe it, we think it, and God sees it. He knows. He sees that sad condition that we are in. And the good thing is, He loves us too much to leave us in that same sad place of hopelessness, that place of fear, of confusion, of hurt, of pain. So what does God do? I'll tell you what He does. God allows some things to happen, some people to betray us, some losses to occur, some health issues to happen, even tragedies where we have no choice but to call on Him, okay? Sometimes God will do a thing that'll make it to where you have nobody but Him. You have no choice but to call on Him, to get on your knees and cry out, God, help me, okay? Like I said, I have been there. I have felt like my life was falling apart, all right? I have been through, and I know my listeners, you may be going through something right now. You may have be just getting over something, but we've all been there, okay? And so what happens is God allows these things to happen where we have no choice but to call on Him, okay? My God, thank you, God. And then at that moment when God finally gets our full attention, what does He do? He just begins to love on us. He begins to ease our pain, to take over that burden. God speaks to us. He lets us know, my child, I got you, okay? I got you. Somebody needs to hear that. My child, I got you, okay? And the part that I love the most is how He replaces that pain and all those bad feelings, all that negative energy that we were so tightly holding on to, like it was, you know, like our life depended on it. He replaces that with joy and the comforting assurance of the truth of His word. Okay. He tells us and He shows us, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Praise God. All things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Let me say that again. All things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed. Do you hear that? He reminds us to fear not, for I am with you. And my favorite, He lets us know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. You see, He reassures us, He comforts us with the truth of His word. When we feel like our life is falling apart, He reminds reminds us of all his wonderful promises. So to my listeners today who may be going through a personal storm, who may be surrounded by those who are going through storms, and maybe you're a friend or a family member and your loved one is going through some things, we just have to remember that when trouble comes your way, when tragedy hits, when it feels like your life is falling apart, just rest in knowing that God is with you through every storm. Your purpose is being birthed through that pain. And God is not, I repeat, God is not going to allow you to fall apart without his perfect plan to put you back together stronger, physically, mentally, spiritually. And yes, honey, when I say God is good, he will put you back together way better than before. I'm a living witness, okay? So in the midst of all those personal issues, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of wars and rumors of wars, in the midst of unspeakable tragedies, just do your best to stay focused on God and allow him to help you find the way. Because even as he helps you find the way, he's also teaching you how to help somebody else find theirs, okay? So again, when your life is falling apart, just know that it really may be God putting you back together. And on that note, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in, for listening to this week's segment of the What Now God Radio Show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. I'll see you every first and third Friday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Tune in and tell a friend. Listen to the What Now God Radio Show. I'll see you all next time. You have a blessed and happy Friday.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.